So welcome everybody. Welcome everybody on Zoom. That was totally my mess up. In fact, I had my kids saying, "Dad, Dad," but there was one person that was reaching out to me, and it happens a lot of times on Sunday mornings that people are texting me because I need the Zoom code. I'm trying to get on, and I need the Zoom code, and so I'm texting you the Zoom code. So hopefully they make it on and are able to join us this morning. I do want to say that we've had new people joining us in both in person. And we've had new people join us on Zoom every week. And so it's been fantastic to see newcomers coming in. We are so excited about next week. I don't want to take too much thunder away from Sarah because she's going to come up and do the announcements at the end. But next week is September 27th. It is our comeback Sunday. It's the start of our new series. We're excited to welcome everybody back. It's funny because, you know, you kind of wonder like what, you know, in-person service is like. And I just want to say that it's like when you're in here and you're listening to the music and you're feeling the spirit and the worship and everybody singing together and everything like that, that as good as Sarah sings in our living room and us sitting on the couch together in the Zoom, it doesn't match being in here with all of you guys singing and all too. So I love you and you have a great voice, but everybody else sounds so much better than just my wife singing next to me on the couch. So, But I do want to start this morning with an exercise, okay? And no, we're not going to get up and do jumping jacks or anything like that, all right? But and I know some of you are looking forward to that. So this you can do whether you're at home or whether you're here. But I do want everybody to sit up straight, you know, kind of sit up, all right? Sit up straight, all right? And if you feel comfortable enough, you can take your mask down because you might feel better and more comfortable to be able to do this, okay? This exercise is a breathing exercise, okay? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do, okay? And you guys can do this on Zoom as well, all right? This is something for everybody, all right? And so, and if you, the kids, you guys can do it too, okay? All right? All the kids, you guys listening, okay? You can do this too, okay? We're going to do this three times, okay? I want you to inhale for 4 seconds. It takes a 4 second breath. Take a 4 second inhale and then hold it for 7 seconds. And then we're going to exhale and take 8 seconds to exhale. Count the eight in your head as you exhale, okay? So we're going to inhale, okay? Ready? All right, and now exhale with 8 seconds to exhale. So exhale really slowly. And now we're going to inhale. How many of you have trouble holding that for 7 seconds? I see some of you struggling. There's faces going red in here. All right, all right. Let's try to do that one again. I totally messed up the whole thing. All right, all right. Let's do another inhale here. All right, here we go. And exhale slowly. And let's do it one more time. Inhale. For those of you on Zoom, somebody's phone in here. Google just wanted to know what we said. Well, during this inhale process, nobody's supposed to be talking. So, see, you can't experience those things if you're on Zoom. You can only experience this stuff if you're in person. All right. In any case, that was a breathing exercise, okay? And you'll understand this in just a little bit of a moment here. But the message this morning is titled Beauty Pageant Wishes. Now, I'm sure we've all heard of, we've all seen, maybe you know somebody that's been in beauty pageants. You know, it's like, I was in one in 19... No, I'm just kidding. I was never in a beauty pageant. But it's one of those things where, you know, the beauty pageants, you have the, you know, the wearing the, you know, beautiful clothes and, you know, getting your hair all done up and all that. But they also have the question and answer time, you know, where they come out on stage and they ask them some kind of question or whatever. All right. One of my favorite movies of Sandra Bullock is Miss Congeniality. And the question she is asked, and this is something that comes out to, you know, it happens a lot of times with beauty pageants, is the one most important thing our world needs? World peace. Of course, her first answer was harsher punishment for parole violators and world peace, okay? And that was exactly how she did it. And so we're going to talk a little bit this morning. We're not going to talk about harsher punishment for parole violators. We're talking about beauty pageant wishes, and we're talking about peace. And the idea of peace, we find it in the scriptures, and it's actually first mentioned in the Old Testament. So in the Hebrew, peace is shalom, okay? And so peace is shalom in Hebrew, and it has the meaning of harmony, tranquility, notions of fulfillment with a wholeness and well-being. So it's a completeness, it's a wholeness, it's a sense of well-being. That's peace. Recently, a friend posted on Facebook just the idea of, like, you know, what do you do in life when, you know, you're in the middle of a pandemic, you know? Or what do you do in life when, you know, troubles come your way? What do you do in life when, you know, you get in a funk? You know, what do you do in life when life has you down? What do you do in life when, you know, things are hard? You know, stuff, I mean, we've had a whole sermon series on life is a mess, you know? And it's one of those things where life gets messy at times. And so, you know, what do you do to, like, lift yourself up? What do you do to feel a sense of peace? And essentially, you know, how do you bring peace into your life? So this past Wednesday night, we have midweek motivation every Wednesday night at 6:30. I will say, and so Sarah can reiterate it during announcements time, this week, Pastor and I have an obligation we're going to, so the midweek motivation will be on Thursday night this week. So for all of you that joined by way of Zoom, and anyone that joins us for midweek motivation, want to encourage you, check out, the link will come out sometime early in the week. Pastor will send that through. And then on Thursday night this week at 6:30 will be the midweek motivation. And so we've been going through on the midweek motivation the Beatitudes, and I'll mention one here in a little bit. But this past Wednesday night, I asked the question, okay, and I'm going to ask this question this morning. I'm going to ask a few questions this morning. And the first one is, what brings you peace? And it was great. It was just a few of us on, but we had a good discussion about it. Now, I got the obvious answers, you know, related to, you know, worship. You know, worshiping God, you know, brings me peace. I mean, I will say it to you. I walked across the back wall there this morning, and I was just listening to you guys all sing. You know, it's just, and it does. It brings a sense of calm, and it is, because we're coming to God, right? And it's like, that's what worship is, and it's, we're coming to God, and He is the God of peace. And so it's one of those things where worship can bring us a sense of peace. Praying to God, you know, praying through our troubles, praying when difficult times come our way, brings a sense of peace. Then we talked about music, you know, Christian music. You know, we got the Christian music radio stations in the area. Sometimes it's blasting in my car, and sometimes it's just that, you know, background music that's just a very calming sense. In fact, I shared that I was watching this video. You know, you go on Facebook, you go on social media, and there's always these random videos. You're just like, why? Where did that video come from? Who decided I wanted to watch that video today? But you look at it, and you're like, oh, I got to click on it. You know, there's a deer in the background. What's a deer doing in the background of somebody playing the harp? You know, I got to click on that. And so I'm like watching this video, and there's this lady, and she's filming herself, you know, kind of like taking a selfie, but she's filming a video, and she's playing a harp. And I'm telling you, I'm one that I'm a sucker for harp music. Ari's been in the Springfield Youth Symphonia up in Springfield, and we've been able to go to the symphony orchestras and all up there. And when they have a harpist, like, it's just mesmerizing to me. So this harp player is out in the middle of a field. I mean, there's literally a field behind her. There's tree, like a tree line. All of a sudden, she's playing the harp. She has no clue. A deer pops out of the woods. And it's moving its head and looking and checking her all out. And the deer's like literally 20, 30 feet away. It comes walking up. It's within 10 feet of her. She has no clue this deer is behind her the entire time she's playing this harp. She's practicing some song she's working on. She's playing this harp. And this deer, completely at peace in this field right behind her. And as it walks up to her, then all of a sudden she makes a movement. And that deer jumps into the woods. And of course, in my mind, I'm picturing that this is what happened. Everything was completely at peace, right? So calm, the music playing, the deer there. In fact, Sarah noted that the deer's tail was wagging. Like, it was just a complete peace listening to this woman play this music. Like, its tail's wagging. It is happy. It is loving this. And then all of a sudden, she makes a sudden movement, and that deer's like, nope, I'm gone. And it was funny because as soon as it jumped into the woods, picture in your own mind, it must have been completely quiet. And then all of a sudden, when a 100, 200-pound deer leaps into the woods, well, then that's going to cause quite the sound and ruckus. So then she jumps back from playing the harp because what the world is going on right behind me? Because by this point, it's like from here to there. It's like that close to her. And so it startles her, and then she must have knocked her camera over because all of a sudden the camera went dead. And but it's just funny. It's just like, you know, music can be calming and peaceful, even to our animals. You know, anybody? How many of you have pets? How many of you leave a TV with dog music or soothing music on whenever you leave your house for your dogs or your animals? I don't do it all the time, but I have found myself sometimes, hey, Google, anybody else's phone going to go on right now? I'm just kidding. But hey, Google, play dog music. And we have a dog music channel on our Google's home thing, and then it plays music for the dogs as I leave. And Sarah makes fun of me for that. But anyway, so the idea is music can be absolutely calming. Also, fellowship with others. You know, when you get together with people, it's like through this one thing, and Pastor and I have said this multiple times, that I absolutely believe there are going to be people that come through this pandemic. We were talking about it this week with a gentleman at Town Hall that he knew somebody's, I don't know, grandmother or mother or something, older generation, that literally hasn't left their apartment since March. I'm like, you can't do that. Like, even if you just go for a walk around the block, we see people walking up and down the sidewalk, and you can say hi to people from distance. You can wear your mask, do whatever you feel comfortable with, but you got to get out there and fellowship with people. You got to stay connected, you know, whether it's through Zoom, you know, or in person. But, you know, it's like you just can't isolate yourself, right? And so fellowship with others can lift you up. And then for, the time out in nature, you know, it's like, just getting outside, going on the hikes. And specifically, specifically the ocean, you know, the sun, the breeze, and we were making mention of the salt air, even just the smell, the salt air, you know, it's like there's something about the ocean that can bring a sense of calm. And then we talked about white noise. There's some of us, and I'm like this, I love mowing. The reason I love it is I feel like it's that noise, plus it's just this menial task that I'm kind of completing, but I can so think about, you know, nothing, or I can just focus on one thing, but it's like the noise seems to drown out, like the physical noise seems to drown out the noise that's in our heads, you know, when we get in our heads with stuff. And so, you know, whether it's mowing or vacuuming or even running the dishwasher, you know, just the idea of something about that background, that white noise. And you know what's funny is like, so I did an Amazon search for books related to the topic of peace. You know, there's like 5,000 plus listings on Amazon for how many books there are out there on peace. And it's really one of those things where it's like, you know, you see it so much, whether it's through social media or just in our own lives. Like, how do you find peace? You know, all these books about inner peace and finding peace and, you know, how to attain peace and everything. And so so that'll be the second question, okay? Let's ask this. How do you find peace? And the first point this morning is that we want to pursue it. We need to pursue it. You know, again, you can think of the things that might bring you peace, and sometimes they can be some natural things, you know, and I want to go with that we go from looking to God's creation for the peace to going to the actual Creator, who is the God of peace, in order to find peace, right? And so we need to pursue peace. In order to pursue peace, we'll look in the scriptures this morning. If you're joining us on Zoom or if you're here in person, we put it up on the TVs. It's hard to see it sometimes from Zoom, but I always use, in the scriptures this morning, it'll be in the NIV. I love the Bible apps. I mean, nowadays on all the tablets and devices and stuff like that, you can go to Bible.com. You can download the app and stuff. And so it's an easy way to follow along with the scriptures and delve into them yourself. So the first point is pursue peace. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, it says this. It says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. And I love that it's like, it's not just seeking peace, but it's pursuing it. You know, it's like, I sought to have a wife someday. But, you know, it took perseverance and, you know, in pursuing her to eventually get her to marry me. So, you know, the idea is it's more than just seeking it. It's more than just saying, well, you know, I wish I had peace in my life. But what are you doing to pursue it? You know, and then where are you pursuing it? Where are you going to for it? And so here's the next verse. It's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is the words of Christ. This is Christ saying this, okay? And because if you're reading like a red letter edition of Bible, the words are in red because Jesus is saying this. He says, come to me, okay? So we need to go to Christ. All who are weary and burdened. Anybody in here feeling tired? Anybody in here feeling a little weary with life? Anybody, you know, got some struggles going on? Anything burdening you? Okay. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, it's literally the Prince of Peace, God of Peace, saying, I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? You know, they had in the days with the oxen and everything like that, and the yoke is what brought the teams together and allowed them to be able to plow the fields and pull the plow and the farmer. And it's like, and so it's that which bound them together, okay? And the idea was, it was like, okay, but you needed that yoke in order for them to work together as a team, but it was also restrictive and binding and all of these things. But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And there's other scriptures that talk about casting your cares on the Lord. There's other scriptures that talk about bearing one another's burdens, that we share one another's burdens. But the idea here is that in life, when we go through difficulties, when we go through struggles, when we're struggling, we feel like we're weighted down with a yoke of bondage. We're just restricted, and life is just so hard. That if we go to God, if we call out to Christ, if we come to Him, He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So after pursuing peace, we need to practice peace. Okay, the second thing is practice peace. And so, again, it's putting things into practice. So here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 9, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or even seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, oftentimes in Christians and in our lives, it's like we just have to figure out, like, what's the right thing to do? But it's like, you know, we're given in the scriptures, and we're given from God, and we're even given these examples in scriptures of in every situation, you know, praying and thanking God and having this peace that passes all understanding, and our hearts and minds will be guarded. And again, thinking on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. And all of these things bring us into a place of peace when we put that into practice. Romans 14, 19 says this. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says this. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And I love that, because in practicing peace, it's not just about me. There's not a selfishness to this. You know, it's like a lot of the self-help books and stuff like that, it's all about finding your inner peace and, like, you know, screw the rest of the world. You know, it's like, you know, like you focus on you and you get yourself and whatever, and don't worry about anybody else. But here, peace is not just something for yourself, but it says to leads to peace and to mutual edification. That our peace is something that then works towards lifting others up around us. I was sharing with somebody, they were going through a difficult time, and I told him, I said, listen, I said, here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to stand up, and, you know, it was like a stump or something that was next to me, and if I trusted this stool, I would stand up on that right now and illustrate, but I'm not going to do that because that's kind of a little wobbly. But imagine if I stood up on a chair, if I stood up on something, okay, and you were on the ground, and I don't care, it could be my wife trying to pull me down, okay, and she's 5'2", you know, and it's like I'm 6'3", it's like she weighs half of what I weigh. So it's kind of one of those things where it would still be easier for her to pull me down than it will be for me to pull her up. And so the idea is, it's like, but in our lives, it's like in our lives, we need to seek peace, but it's also something that it works towards lifting all of those up around us. And we have to be careful of those that are around us, because in our circles, you know, there might be that negativity. There might be those that are pulling us down and dragging us down. But it's like in our lives, as we seek God, as we bring peace into our lives, it's also something that should be helping to lift others up. And so the idea is that we need to be, again, doing every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification and lifting others up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, Ephesians 4, 3, it says this. And again, this is to the question of how do we find peace, and we're putting it into practice. We got Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, and it says this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And what I love about that verse is it's like it's focusing on the idea that, you know, there is so much, and I don't care what realm in life you're talking about, whether you're talking about, you know, the views on the pandemic, whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about, you know, where do you go for pizza? It's like it's one of those things where there's so much division, there's so much divisiveness, there's so much stuff on social media. Like, I literally saw somebody asked a question, and it was like, you know, a recommendation for something. You know how you can ask recommendations, you know, and people jump on it and ask, offer. And I said, okay, I'm looking for a recommendation, but, like, you know, we need to go here, you know, and so, but I'm looking for some information, recommendations, and I'm not looking for recommendations elsewhere because, you know, we need to go here. And some people offer recommendations for something else, you know, like, well, you know, if you really don't want, you know, pizza, you want Chinese, then, you know, here's the best Chinese place out there, or whatever. And I said, well, I'm not looking for Chinese, I'm looking for pizza, you know, like, this is what we're looking for, whatever. And if someone started jumping all over the person who offered the Chinese place or whatever, and then it's like you start arguing over what they're offering and who they're asking, and the next thing you know, it's like this huge argument on the most menial of requests, and it's just that spirit of divisiveness that just seems to be everywhere today. And the scripture says in Ephesians 4:3, you and I, we're hearing this morning, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God brings unity. God is a God of order, not disorder. God is a God of unity, not disunity. He's not trying to cause divisiveness and all. And so we have to make that effort to bring the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, again, how do I find peace? So number three, praise the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to go back because we had that, you know, suggestion that when we're trying to find peace, that worship is a part of bringing us into the place of peace in our lives, that peace that passes all understanding. So praise the Prince of Peace. In Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you're called to peace, and be thankful." And I love that because it's like, it takes that that verse in Colossians 3:15, it takes that idea that, you know, we're going to let peace rule, okay? We're going to let peace rule, and then we're called to peace, but take it a step further and be thankful, okay? And be thankful, Colossians 3:15. And in Proverbs 16:7 says this, Proverbs 16:7, "When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them." So when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. And I love this because it's like, you know, think about this. If God is pleased with you in your life, if you're in a place where God is taking pleasure in the way that you're going, he will even make sure that your enemies are at peace with you. You know, so again, it's in our lives that we're pursuing peace, we're seeking peace, and then it's practicing peace, and that the Lord in our lives will make sure that even our enemies are at peace with us. Number four, and again, how do we find peace? Number four, plant your roots in the Word of God. One of the things that I had the benefit of was I grew up in a church that we did a lot of the memorization of Scripture. We did a lot of memorize these verses and learn the Psalms and memorize this chapter or these verses and all. And so I can remember memorizing this, and I know Miss Judy has done a VBS with this. But in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. And I know there's a song, and I am not going to try to sing it because I don't remember it, but I know that, like, probably some of the kids here that have gone through VBS probably have that tune going through their head maybe, but it's totally one of those things where I remember the fruit of the Spirit, I remember the kids dancing in here, and I remember the tune, but I'm not going to try to sing it. But the fruit of the Spirit, okay, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Like, we make laws and there are peace pacts that are made. There are things that they do to bring people to a place of peace. Even, you know, in the world, you know, we seek peace, right? But there's no law against peace. You know, think about that. It's like, you know, the destruction of the law is when, you know, the peace is broken down, right? It's like, I read somewhere that, I can't think of that, but it's thousands of peace treaties have occurred over the centuries, right? And like, I don't know if it's one that has lasted. And it's crazy to think about that, you know, that it's just like, but the world seeks peace, but it's like, you know, they have to figure out where to find it. But they want to find it without going to the source of peace, which is God. He's the God of peace. And so the fruit of the Spirit is that which brings peace. And so when we try to do life on our own, and we try to do things on our own, and then we wonder why we can't find peace in our lives, it's like because we're a tree that's not planted and no roots are going into the Word of God, and so we're not living for God, and so therefore we're not feeling that peace coming out of us because our roots aren't deep into the Word, aren't deeply planted into God, and so the fruit of the Spirit is not coming out, and the fruit of the Spirit is peace. James chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap the harvest of righteousness." Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You see, When we plant the seeds of peace in our lives, when we seek peace, when we pursue peace, when we practice peace, okay, then it's going to bring out God's peace and righteousness in our lives. Like, we're going to feel that. We're going to know that. We're going to experience that fruit in our lives. You know, it's interesting. Like, we're talking about planting your roots in the Word. Think about roots. Roots, when they start off, right, it's like they're underground. They're not seen. When was the last time you delved deep into the Scriptures in complete solitude on your own, had a moment between you and God, and you opened up the Scriptures, and you were deep into the Word without anybody else knowing, just between you and God? And if you haven't ever done that, if you've never taken the Scriptures, taken the Bible and opened it up or whatever, like, my Scriptures are on my tablet, if you see on Zoom. It's one of those things where you can take the Bible apps, Bible.com. It is so easy. Like, in today's society, you know, it's like, we wonder, like, how easy is it for us to get information, right? I mean, you can Google just about anything, you know? And so it's one of those things where you can literally go to the Scriptures at any given time on any device and any opportunity you have to just spend time reading through Scriptures and learning how to have peace. And so here it says the peacemakers who sow into peace, they practice it, they pursue it, they plant seeds of peace in their lives, they're the ones who are going to reap a harvest of righteousness. So again, roots, they go underground, okay? So we're going to go to this, okay? Here's a couple points for you on roots. Roots, they go underground. It's unseen, it's in solitude, it's deep, it's you doing this for yourself, okay? They absorb, roots absorb. They take in. Okay, so again, it's reading the Scriptures so that I can take something in. And for us as Christians, it's like, okay, so pray to God, ask God, help me to understand, help me to learn something today from this. Because, you know, as I'm reading through the genealogies of Jesus Christ, or I'm reading through all Leviticus, or I'm reading through some past, it's like, I always recommend, pastor, you know, recommends a lot of times, it's like starting the book of like John or James or something in the New Testament where it's like just getting the foundations of the faith, just learning about Jesus, the Gospels, to learn about the life of Christ. Again, he's the Prince of Peace. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the easiest Scriptures to go to just study about his life. And then it's like, you know, Romans and Acts, that they teach you about how the church started. And again, it just gives you the way to learn about a life of peace. And so we absorb, we take it in. And then store, you know, roots and the root system, they store the nutrients. It's crazy. Like, I'm just fascinated. In fact, I was told I needed to ask Randy about, like, plants, cutting shrubs and trimming, because there's certain people in here that like gardening and know how to do that. Judy's one, you know, certain people know how to do these things. Like, I thought I'd trim back my rose bushes and they were going to be good. They didn't come back this year. But then I didn't do anything with the butterfly bush, and then it looks like it's scraggly and all over the place, and then we have this huge hydrangea. By the way, I looked all these things up because I didn't know what they were called before, like yesterday or the day before. Like, so I know, I seem impressive that I'm like, oh, our hydrangeas, and then, you know, the azaleas and rhododendrons, and that's about all I know for names. But the idea is that the hydrangea bushes, like, it's like sagging, like the blooms on these things, like, I can't even tell you. They're like this big, and they were white, and now all of a sudden they're pink, you know, and they're like, and they're dropping to the ground, and I'm like, oh, I probably should have pruned that last year, you know, but when's the right time to prune them, you know? Not right now while the flowers are on them, right? Right, Judy? I need to wait. Exactly. So I knew that much. I knew, like, when the fruit's on the tree, like right now, you don't go at the apple tree orchards and start cutting off all the branches. I knew right now you don't do that, but so the idea is that the root systems store. They store those nutrients, especially through drought. They store those nutrients, especially through the winter, through the off seasons, so that when the spring comes, then there's new growth. And so again, for us, we need to get into the Word of God and allow it to be stored in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives so that when we're struggling to find peace, Philippians 1:6, we can be confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've known that verse since third or fourth grade. Philippians 1:6. It's one of my verses that it's like, it's my go-to verse when I'm struggling. So the idea is that we store and retain those nutrients of the Bible for later use. And then support. The foundational growth for a plant is its root system. And so again, what are we founded on? What are we grounded in? What are we diving deep into? If we're trying to look for peace in our lives, then we need to be rooted in the God of peace and His Word. So, last question I'm going to ask this morning is, how do we promote peace? How do we promote it? Well, like there in James 3:18, where it talks about peacemakers, okay, we need to be a peacemaker. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it's one of the Beatitudes. We talked about it on Wednesday night. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So, a peacemaker, again, not a peacekeeper, not a peace lover, but a peacemaker, okay? So here's some attributes for you for a peacemaker, okay? So a peacemaker is this. A peacemaker is humble in spirit and pure in heart. These are in the descriptions as you go through like the Beatitudes and stuff like that. It's like that these are things that are a part of being a peacemaker. And it's interesting because they're listed before the God says to be a peacemaker and to blessed are the peacemakers, so they'll be called the children of God. It's like these are some of the things that they're humble in spirit, they're pure in heart. They mourn over sin and they're compassionate. Again, they're not celebrating sin. They're mourning over sin. They're not rejoicing in sin, okay? Love doesn't rejoice in sin. Peacemakers don't rejoice in sin, okay? But they are compassionate. I mean, Jesus looked on those that were a world that was lost and sinful, right? And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the idea is that, again, we can mourn over sin, but still be compassionate. And then meek. This idea of being meek is it's strength under control, gentle. See, a lot of times people mistake that someone who's a peacemaker, you know, they're weak. No, a peacemaker is a warrior. Like, a peacemaker is someone who is strong but gentle, under control. Strength under control, that's meekness. A peacemaker is led by the Spirit of Christ. Again, Christ is the Prince of Peace. God of Peace brought peace. You know, when the angels were announcing the coming of Jesus Christ, they said, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill toward men. They literally exclaimed that Jesus is peace. And so the idea is that we're led by the Spirit of Christ and we're righteous. Peacemaker is patient, one who goes the extra mile. A peacemaker is impartial, sincere, merciful. The last time I spoke, I talked about mercy and grace, and it's like, it's one of those things that, again, in our lives, if we're going to make peace for those around us, to edify those around us, then it's like we need to remember to be sincere and merciful. And then finally, a peacemaker is peaceable. I mean, you have to have peace yourself in order to make peace for others, right? So a peaceable, open to reason. Now, I'm going to say this. It's not the same as open-minded. There's a difference between being open to reason and open-minded. As often it's said today, the idea is it's like, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, you need to be open-minded. It's like, okay, a peacemaker is peaceable and open to reason. Okay? The idea is that a peacemaker is not necessarily someone who avoids conflict at all costs. But they are the ones who seek peace. They're the ones who pursue peace. They're the ones who practice peace. And they're the ones who seek to be peaceable. And they promote the gospel of peace. The person of Jesus Christ and peace itself. They're willing to listen first and seek to understand. And thus they're open to reason. They're not willing to swerve from the truth of God and His peace and His gospel. And remember this, we're not just here to heal conflict, we're here to show others what true peace is. Like as Christians, it's one of those things that like we can't bring out and how do I want to put it? We can't get rid of all the negativity in life. You and I can't do it in and of by ourselves. The unrest, the divisiveness, everything that's happening in the world today, it's like the only answer for all of that is Jesus Christ. And someday there will be peace on earth. And someday the Bible says that the lion will lay with the lamb, and the little deers that come up behind people playing harps will never be frightened and run off into the woods. The idea is there will be peace on all of the earth, and we will all be at peace with each other. Nelson Mandela had a quote when it comes to peacemakers. And he says this, Nelson Mandela says this, "As I have said, the first thing is to be honest with yourself. You can never have an impact on society if you've not changed yourself. Great peacemakers are all people of integrity, of honesty, but humility." Again, we need to be a peacemaker. We need to promote peace, pursue peace, practice peace, and seek it. My final thought is this. I believe that deep within every person, a soul cries out for peace. And then the idea is, whether it's through our own ignorance, whether it's because of fear, whether it's because of circumstances around us or neglect on our parts, we fail to find it. And so here's the walk away for this morning, and I'll close with this. And the walk away this morning is this, that as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers so that everyone might see peace face to face. And if you notice, that word peace is capitalized because it's Christ. We need others to see Christ in us. Like, we're the ambassadors for God, right? We're the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're also called to be witnesses, right? And we're also called to be peacemakers. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And it's not just like, oh, you're going to become... No, it's not that you're going to become the children of God. It's that you are a child of God, and everybody else will know that you're a child of God because of that spirit of peace that's upon you. That's what I'm challenging myself and each of us, that as we go through difficult times, you know, it's like there's nothing more awe-inspiring than when a Christian goes through a horrific experience, you know, the loss of a child, or a child going through cancer treatments, or something like that, and the world and life is not fair to them in that moment, and difficult things are happening, and they are at complete peace with God. And with, I mean, they're witnessing to the doctors and nurses. They got doctors and nurses praying with them. But they're at complete peace no matter what the trouble is that they're going through. And it's like, it is awe-inspiring. Like, I remember it was a friend of my sister's. And I remember we prayed for their family and stuff. And they lost their little boy. But it's like, I remember when, like, he was losing his hair, when he was going through treatments and everything like that. And I remember seeing her post on Facebook and just, like, man. Like, I hope I'm that strong as a Christian that whenever I go through something, that peace is what you see coming out of me. But I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. It's absolutely something that we have to get those roots deep into the Word of God and into our lives, deeply rooted into God, so that the Prince of Peace, and peace is what we see face to face. Someday, we'll all be joined with Him. And now, as Christians, we're called to be peacemakers. So let peace fill our hearts, let peace fill our lives, and let us promote peace to the world around us. Everyone, head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you joined us on Zoom, just a quiet moment here of prayer. I'm going to ask Tom and Sarah to join me back up on stage here, and they're going to close out in song. But are you going through a difficulty now? Is it one of those things where there's a trouble spirit in your heart this morning? Is it one of those things where you're lacking that peace? And whether it's the circumstances, whether it's the neglect, whether it's whether it's fear, or whether it's ignorance, that we've forgotten that the source of peace is Jesus Christ, that the source of peace is God Himself, that we can seek His peace and practice it. And so I'm going to pray this morning, but in this moment, in the quiet of this moment, say your own little prayer to God. Reach out to Him right now in this moment and just say, God, You know the troubles that I have in my heart. You know the burdens that I have. And God, I'm asking You to take those burdens on You, take those burdens on Yourself. And that, God, that You would bring a spirit of peace in my life. And just seek God. Just seek His peace. Let's pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for the blessings You give to us in our lives. And God, we thank You even, Lord, for the circumstances that, God, are outside of our control, that are absolutely one of those things where we can't know the answers. We don't know how to fix the problems. We don't know how to relieve the burdens and just to feel a sense of peace and relief in our lives. But God, we know that You are in control. We know that You can bring that peace to our hearts and our lives. And so God, we just call on You right now. We just ask You, Lord, that anyone listened by this on Zoom, anyone here this morning in person, or anyone who might listen to this later, God, that in this moment we call upon You, we ask You, Lord, to just bring peace in our hearts, in our lives, and help us to be led to the Spirit of Christ and His peace and Your peace. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.